glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. For Thursday, July 27th, 2023, I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we're going to talk with a board member of Great News Media, of which WLUJ Family of Stations is a part of. I thought it'd be good to hear from the ministry's leadership and just understand how we're being led by men and women of integrity who have a personal relationship with Jesus. Huey, thanks so much for coming on Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Donna. It's such an honor and privilege to be on your show.
Now, how long have you been on the board?
Since 2017.
How did Mark find you and realize you would be a good candidate for helping us here at Great News Media?
I first met Mark pretty early on in his station, which of course started, God's Station, that started in 1996. I really got to know him 10 years later. I was a reporter for the Decatur Herald and Review, and at that time I was on the religion beat, and I heard that they were celebrating their 10th anniversary of the station, so I thought it would be a great feature story to delve into everything about WGNN, and I spent a lot of time with Mark and just writing a story about what they've been doing. And it was very interesting, especially the fact they were involved with Israel, which my heart is for Israel. And then got to know him much deeper by going on an Israel trip with my wife, Katie, and our daughter, Mikola, the following year.
So, wow, your connection goes way back. And then here you are serving on the board, and this amazing opportunity comes up to take the four stations that you were shepherding, but add to it all of WLUJ. What was that like? What kind of a conversation happened there in the boardroom?
That is such a great question. Well, I will say, and I just say all glory to God, I was all for it by the Spirit of God. I was all for it. And I don't want to sound proud, about it, but I just felt like every conversation that was had, a lot of it would, there's a lot of people who are more practical on the board who like to talk about the ledger and all things financial. Believe me, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that's what the conversations were about a lot, and I just kept coming back personally to saying, I just believe God wants us to do this, and He's going to provide the finances for it. One of the board members at the time, and I was just so thankful to go through with this. In my own mind, it's not for me to decide. I mean, this is. I hope and believe that God, put me on the board because I try to follow God in any major decision I pray about, and I do rely on the wisdom of God. And I was very excited and thrilled that the board, we all decided to expand the network.
You were used to a different model when it comes to the finances. Mark had always followed a plan where he did not have share-a-thons, and he was able, just communicating the need, the resources came in to keep the station going. And so what was that transition like?
Well, once again, I think that, Mark is the leader of this, and the board, we go along with him, and sometimes we don't go along. We have different ideas than Mark, which is the way God planned this whole setup. It's kind of like a government, and I covered many board meetings, of city council meetings, etc., which is my experience with boards, is being a city news reporter covering city council and county board meetings, etc. So the point is that Mark himself had been so successful for so long in keeping Great News Media going financially without share-a-thons that he believed that we could do it without share-a-thons. And I think it's kind of the George Mueller model of just praying and the money will come in. Well, I'm not saying that God didn't have, there's interactions. I'm sure George Mueller had interactions with donors when he had all these orphanages. But he was known for not really asking people for money as much as just praying to God. As far as, you know, the decision that to not need charathons, which I understand that now they're not, you know, with WLUJ anymore, that's just something that has worked otherwise for him. And I always just say, God, this is the way God worked it out. And whether it's better or worse, you guys, you know, WLUJ worked really, really great with charathons. You know, it's just a different way of doing things.
It really is. And I guess the bottom line is God's going to provide.
Amen.
You know, and if we think we're doing anything on a charathon to move the saints, I mean, it's him. It's his work.
Amen.
And he is going to supply the need.
Amen.
And he chooses to use us. I always say it's by the grace of God and the grace of giving. It's just a different model, and we're having a lot of fun by having open houses and being able to do some face-to-face contact with our listeners. So it's been an absolute blessing joining forces with Mark Burns and with Great News Media. I just really think it was for such a time as this. God knew exactly who needed to be at the helm, and he provided that resource. So I just want our WLUJ listening family to understand the wisdom and the purpose of God to allow us to be shepherded by Great News Media. It's just really is phenomenal. There's a lot of backstory, and we just want you to know God is in control. Well, Huey, you referenced the fact that your background is journalism. Tell us some of your background. I know Chicago is a part of that.
Chicago. I was born and raised in Chicago, but it was after I left Chicago that I really got deeply into journalism. My background as a young person, when I was about 20, I really got interested in filmmaking. And make a long story short, I went to several film schools, and the greatest one was City College of San Francisco. I started meeting up with Jesus freaks, some of these crazy Jesus freaks. And as a result of that, I moved to Oregon, where my Jesus freak friends were asking me to move with them. And I spent a summer building a house with one of the Jesus freaks in Sisters, Oregon. That changed my life. And then after I became a disciple of Jesus, God told me to be a writer, to change my career. And I started out as a creative writer. And so God showed me, I guess before I was a believer, that I had an ability that he gave me for writing. So make a long story short, yeah, my journalism career took off really in like the late 80s, early 90s. You know, I worked for 17 years as a reporter at the Decatur Herald Review, and the biggest blessing of it was covering law enforcement, covering the crime beat. Which has led to my work as an author since then, writing books about the Border Patrol and local law enforcement.
What kind of books have you written? Give us some of the titles.
Okay, Who Shot Nick Ivey is a book I wrote. I spent 2.5 years at the Arizona-Mexico border, and it's about the murder of Border Patrol agent Nick Ivey, a 30-year-old man married with two little girls. And he was murdered by smugglers at the border in the middle of the night. He was ambushed, and then for political reasons, a false story was released saying that he was not murdered by smugglers. It was actually friendly fire that he was shooting at other Border Patrol agents, and they killed him accidentally. It's totally false. And a friend of mine at the border told me about this story. So then I found hundreds of pages of documentation that verified that what he said was true. So I spent 2.5 years uncovering the true story, and to honor Nick Ivey, to honor him for his service, that he was murdered in an honorable way, that he was confronting cartel smugglers right by the border in the middle of the night, and he confronted them by himself right before the other two agents showed up. So that's my first book, and now I'm working on a book with Amber Oberheim, who is like a wonderful advocate for law enforcement, and her husband was shot to death. Also, it was kind of an ambush in Champaign, Illinois on May 19th, 2021. So I've been working with Amber Oberheim for a little more than 2 years on a book about her husband, about law enforcement in Champaign and Decatur, Illinois, because Chris Oberheim was a police officer in Decatur before he was in Champaign. And I covered law enforcement in Decatur, so I'm friends with a lot of his friends that he worked with as police officers in Decatur.
Wow, so you're busy, and then not only that, but you substitute teach.
I've been doing that. It's the biggest blessing of my, occupational life, because working with young people, that's where the joy is. You know, a lot of people will tell you they don't want to be substitute teachers because there are some kids who are not that, agreeable. When you get into it and you're kind to them, you're friendly with them, you're enjoying being with them, it turns things around. God has really blessed me. I love that. But also I recently started working for Epoch Times, the national newspaper that has conservative values and many pro-Christian stories and stories of positive spiritual things. That's a super blessing that God gave me. I never even applied for the job at Epoch Times. It was through a friend that I was offered this position. So I'm writing for writing health stories for their mind and body section, and that's an enormous blessing.
Yeah, we're going to do a follow-up program with you, Huey, and we're going to talk about one of your articles that I just happened to stumble upon. And I was thinking, wait, Huey Freeman? I know Huey. What's up with this? And it was just like, wow. I mean, he is a writer. I kind of had like this little in remembrance that you had talked about writing, but I'm like, that's fun. I love that. Now, maybe people aren't aware of the fact that Great News Media also has a newspaper publication. We talk about it occasionally, but it's Prime Life Times.
I feel very thankful that I felt like I was a part of saying yay and amen to the offer. It's very similar to the offer that was given to take over WLUJ, that the owner of Prime Life Times offered to Mark to take over this newspaper, which is absolutely phenomenal because the man was not even a believer. And then as a board, we okayed it. And I was very enthusiastic about taking it on. And I love the fact they have great writers and great editors. Rob Sedenberg, I will say, Rob Sedenberg, I got to know because he was the editor on my book, Who Shot Nick Ivey? And he does great writing. And also he's on the radio talking about his stories. Rob Sedenberg is one of the most brilliant people I've known in my life. And he was a professional editor of books for many years for a company that does editing for prestigious book publishing companies. And I learned a lot from him. And he also did a blurb that's on the back of my Nick Ivey book.
What a gift that we got with Rob being a part
absolutely.
Of our Great News Media Prime Life Times. It's a beautiful publication. I just really want our listeners to know that it's available. It's available if you'd like to read it online. But other people like to have it in their hands. And so all around the Champaign, the Springfield, Central Illinois area, there are different establishments that will allow us to go in and put in a nice stack of our Prime Life Times. And you can go and you can pick it up at our headquarters. You can pick it up here on Mason Street, too. So a lot of opportunity to get your hands on it. It's just a really sweet, take me back to simple times kind of a paper, but with some really good information.
And Marianne does a great job on editing that. I must say that her being the editor has made all the difference. And also a great staff of people just taking it all over the place. I mean, it's volunteers to a great extent that are doing the work on that. And it's all over Central Illinois to a great extent. It's amazing how they get that out once a month.
So you made mention of you coming to know Christ through the Jesus People movement. But prior to that, you were raised in Chicago.
I was raised in West Rogers Park mostly, which is a Jewish neighborhood. We had about 100,000 Jewish people. It's still primarily a Jewish neighborhood. It's an enclave on the far north side of Chicago. And my parents are Jewish. All my family is Jewish. The last thing in the world I ever dreamt I would be, the most unlikely thing, would be a Christian. I mean, there's like no way I would be a Christian. And somehow God won me over. So I'd say the highlight to my testimony, probably my favorite story, is that I was living in Sisters, Oregon, this beautiful little town just on the eastern edge of the Cascade Mountain Range. At that time, while I was a film student, I fell in love with hiking in the mountains, which I actually got to the point where I just go alone and hike for 2 or 3 days or so in the mountains, mostly the Sierra Nevada mountain range and the Cascades in Oregon. So one day I did a hike by myself. No one else really knew where I was. And I just was hiking up Three Finger Jack, which was 7,900 feet tall. As I got near the top of the mountain, I realized that the sun's going down and it's going to get dark, and I better just hightail it back to my tent, which is like thousands of feet below where I was. So I started going back toward my tent, and I'm going down the mountain. It's very steep at this point of Three Finger Jack. And I start going down, and all of a sudden my feet hit the snow, which on the way up was very soft, and you know, everyone knows if you walk in snow and it's soft, it's no problem, you actually go into the ground. But while I was hiking up, it turned hard like ice. So as soon as my feet hit it, I started sliding down the mountain. All of a sudden, my feet, which I couldn't see my feet because I'm going down a very steep mountain, which has footholds. You just go one step at a time, one foothold, you're going down facing the mountain, which is granite. It's stone. So I'm going down one step at a time. All of a sudden, my feet hit the snow, which in my mind was soft, which would have been no problem because then I could just go through the snow and to get a good foothold. But my feet hit, it was ice. It had frozen in the 2 or 3 hours as I was hiking up above the snowfield. And I just was sliding down to my death. I absolutely knew I was going to my death. I had no control. The velocity was increasing. In my mind, I thought these are the last thoughts of my mind, of my life. Am I going fast. I had no control. It'd be like a snowball just going down the mountain. And all of a sudden, boom, I stopped. And I knew God stopped me. In retrospect, I think it was an angel. But I knew it was God. And my feet were on a little dry patch, which I had no idea was there. And it didn't even make sense that I stopped. Because even if I hit a dry patch, I was going so fast, I should have just kept going. And I knew it was God. So that night, I was able to slowly, slowly, slowly kick down into the, you know, hardened snow and get up to a little ridge and just sit down on a flat area, and I spent the night out there because there's no way I was going to try to get back down to my tent, so which I say was thousands of feet below. And I just sat up there, and I was singing songs to God. I had been to church like 2 or 3 times by then with my Jesus Freak friends. I was just singing to God and thanking God. It was under the stars. It was freezing up there. I wasn't prepared for the cold, but I just was up all night just sitting there and thanking God. And in retrospect, it was the first time in my life that I actually knew that God really cared about me. I mean, that he really cared about me, because everything else was like me arguing against Jesus. Everything was like me arguing against Jesus, because I was living with Terry King, who was a Jesus freak, living with him that summer, building this house. He would take out the Bible and start telling me things, and I had an argument for everything he said. And by the way, God has started speaking to me about that time, but I could actually know that God was speaking to me while I was hiking the mountains. It wasn't until later, like probably about 5-6 weeks later, when I was hiking in the North Cascades, which was a few hundred miles north of there. I was finished with the house and I was just hiking up near the Canadian border. And God said to me, "My way is through my son." And I was like, no, 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 that's terrible news. That's terrible news. I thought I had this thing going with God. I kind of had this thing going with God. God had actually revealed to me how to get food several different times after I ran out of food while hiking in the mountains. And then when God said to me, my ways through my son, it's like, no, these Jesus freaks are right and I'm wrong, and this is horrible news. So then it took me like a year and a half of one like terrible thing after another happening to me. I mean, including my little puppy dogs getting stolen from me. Funny, because even in that, I still wasn't committed to being a Christian yet, but even in that, God blessed me because my two little dogs were stolen from me. After that incident of my dogs getting stolen and things at school were kind of falling apart, I moved up to Oregon. A man named Lou Romer, I was 25 and Lou Romer was 73, and I met him in the Dexter Lake Club, and he invited me to his church. Just was on fire for God, and then shortly after that, I had met Katie before, but God really miraculously brought me back together with her, and she came along with me at a time where we were living for Jesus, very much like in the Bible. Two by two, we were going all over. We got involved with several churches, and I was preaching in churches and preaching in rescue missions, and she was along with me preaching. We would meet random people and ask them if they'd been saved. So she was saved through Christian radio right before I met her, listening to a Christian radio station as she was going across the country to move to Oregon. And I met her in Eugene, Oregon at a theater party. And she was saved when I met her, and I was still fighting. And, meeting Katie was like, of course, after being saved, that was the next huge blessing of my life.
Well, thank you so much, Huey, for being a part of Mark and Friends. Again, Huey Freeman, my guest today, and he is a board member with Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Huey, we're going to have you back because that article that I stumbled upon, I think we need to dig a little deeper into that.
Great. I'm looking forward to that very much, and you are a super blessing, and I think one of the greatest things about merging with WLUJ is having you on the air. And Katie said that you sound like her friend. When she listens to you, she really feels like you're her friend. And she doesn't say that about anybody else that I could think of.
Oh.
So, but I love hearing you, and I'm so thankful that we're together on this network.
I am too. Well, thanks so much, Huey. And thank you, dear listener, for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Have a great day.